you said to him it was over?
Yes.
And X quickly moves on.
Around 2 in the morning, my mom comes to my room and said that somebody is breaking in.
He wanted to get into his home.
But did she jump the gun?
You can't say we're done and barricade yourself in the house. You can't do that. You see how you're smiling? Can't control yourself. I take domestic violence really seriously.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Jonathan Plaske is suing his ex-fiancée, Lori Gabb, for having him falsely arrested for domestic violence and obtaining a false restraining order.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 505 on the calendar in the matter of Plaske versus Gabb.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Plaske, it is your claim that the defendant, with whom you share a child, I believe, and with whom you were living, had you arrested without cause. You are suing her for your attorney's fees and for that false arrest.
Yes.
Ms. Gabb has a counterclaim. She said that you broke her door and she wants to be compensated for that. Ms. Gabb, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
How long were you and Mr. Plaske living together?
We had just moved into the house in February 2013.
Where had you been living before that?
I had an apartment.
And so did he?
He did, but he had moved in with me a few months before that.
And how old is the child that you share?
18 months.
Were you living together when the child was conceived?
Yes.
You've been together for a while.
Yes.
How long?
It's been a little over 2 years when we broke up, which was in October. September.
In what month and year did you commence your relationship to Mr. Plaske?
We had been together, it was August of 2012, I believe.
Is that right?
August 2011.
Okay, sorry.
August of 2011. And your son was born on what date?
9/11/12.
And at the time that you and Mr. Plaske's child was born, you were living together?
Yes.
And you lived together as a couple. You went to the hospital with her. Mr. Plaske was involved with his son, as were you. Who else lived with you besides your son?
My two other daughters and my mother.
Had she lived with you before?
Not before we moved into the house.
Why did she move in with you?
She helps take care of the two little ones, like while we're at work, my daughter and our son.
And how old are your other two children?
I have a daughter that's 10 and a daughter that's 5.
Now, I'd like you to tell me the date of this incident that caused you to get a restraining order against Mr. Plaske.
It was October 21st.
2013.
13, yes.
I'd like you to tell me what happened.
That night, I was at work. My mom and John were at home with the kids, and him and my mom had a small fight, but he had been yelling at my son, Brody, so that's what caused the fight between them.
How old is he?
Now, he's 18 months.
So he was yelling at the son that you share together, not one of your other children?
Yes.
So he was yelling at his own son?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And your mother interfered?
Yeah.
So okay, then they start... let's just get that straight.
Yes.
He was involved with his own son, with whom he had been living since birth.
Yes.
And your mother interfered.
Yes.
That's what happened. So what happened next?
He texted me at work, said I needed to call him. He asked if he could go stay at his friend's house for the night to kind of, you know, dispense the situation. So I said that was fine because my mom would be there with the kids.
Okay. So he had this fight with your mother.
Yes.
And to de-escalate the fight.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to go and stay at a friend's house. What time do you get home from work?
I got home around between 10 and 10:30.
And what time was the text message that he sent about the argument with your mother?
I would say probably around 8:30 or 9.
Go ahead.
When I got home from work, I talked to my mom about what had happened. We had had previous problems, so it's not like that was the only night we had been having problems. So I just decided finally it was time that we just needed to go our separate ways, you know, in the relationship. I talked to him on the phone. We discussed this.
No, you came home. You spoke to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting this step by step. You decided after the conversation with your mother and based upon other things in the relationship, you decided it should be over,
yes,
right?
Correct.
And you called him. What time did you call him?
We were talking, it was probably 11:30 at night.
So at about 11:30 at night, you said it's over?
Yes.
And he said?
That he would come home the next morning, get his stuff out, move out.
Is that so far correct?
Besides the fact that I said that I'd come over the next morning and we didn't really talk about that.
You never talked about that?
Never talked about it. We just talked about our relationship and whether we're going to be together still or not.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So any time that he wasn't going to be home, just because we're girls, we would put the chair underneath the door handle, you know, like for extra security. It's a girl thing. So we had done that because he wasn't supposed to come home that night. So we went to bed, and around 2 a.m, my mom comes to my room and said that somebody is breaking in. Well, he had told me he was going to be staying at his friend's, so we were alarmed, obviously. So he came in, he had kicked the door down, or forced the door in, and he was like, what, did you think I was going to come in and kill you? Just a weird situation. So at that point, he came upstairs, went to bed.
Went to bed where?
In our room.
And where were you?
In our room.
And the two of you went to sleep together?
Yes.
And what time was that?
A little after 2, around in there.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the next morning, he was getting his stuff out. I had chose not to call the police right when it happened because I do have...
Don't tell me why you didn't call the police right when it happened.
Okay.
Just tell me what happened.
Okay, so...
So the next morning, he's gathering his stuff.
Yes. I left with the kids, so they weren't seeing him actually packing and moving his stuff out. He told my mom as he was leaving that he was going to come back the next day and take Brody, our son. So after he was out, that's when I called the police to have them come and take a picture of the door. And from there, they said that I needed...
Don't tell me what they said. What they said to you was hearsay. At that point, you filed a protective order.
The next day.
And you asked for sole custody. And I want to see the allegations that you made when you filed for the protective order.
I don't have the protective order with me.
Do you have the protective order? I want to see it. In whose name is the lease in this house or apartment?
It was under both of our names.
You have two other children. Is the father of those two children the same?
No.
I want you to answer my question very carefully. Did you ever file a protective order with regard to either of the fathers of those two children?
Yes.
Ah, you're a pro, Miss Gabb. You're a pro and you know how to work the system. I've been in the system. I hope the judge that ultimately hears your case, if it hasn't already been heard, is also a pro in the system. I don't have to hear from you yet.
Okay.
Because I'm able to rule on your complaint for having you falsely arrested without you opening your mouth.
Okay.
So it's clear. I've read your allegations, okay, and I've heard your testimony. And what you did was you used the criminal justice system and an application for a protective order as a leg up in a custody dispute with the father of your child. That's exactly what you did. And I have a feeling that you did that before, that you're not a stranger to that system. It's sort of self-help that very often parties use, sadly, mostly women, in order to get that leg up, to get exclusive possession of their residence and to get sole custody of their children. Let me tell you why. Well, I don't have to tell you why. I have to tell the hopefully millions of people who are watching this why. I take domestic violence really seriously. I think that anyone, men or women, who suffer from domestic violence need a voice, and it was all too long before they got that voice. And they now have it. Sadly, women like you give domestic violence, real domestic violence complaints, a bad name with people like me who have to judge them. Because let's recap what you did. You were at work. The father of your child, with whom you had lived as a couple for years, who had custody of him along with you, who was a father along with you, was home with your mother, who you brought in to take care of the children. Not his mother, your mother. Well, he got into a kerfuffle with your mother.
Me?
I would have kicked her out. It's not her home. It's his home. He's on the lease. It's his home. It's not your mother's home. She wasn't on the lease, was she?
No.
No. So I would have kicked her out and called the police and said, get that old lady out of my house. Not him.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You can't say we're done and barricade yourself in the house. You can't do that. Unless you've done it before. You see how you're smiling? Can't control yourself.
And later today...
She wasn't crossing a highway. She was in a crosswalk. And if the weather is bad and wet and rainy, you go really slowly when you hit a crosswalk. She ended up on the hood of your car.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Jonathan Plaske claims ex-fiancée Lori Gabb had him falsely arrested for domestic violence and then obtained a false restraining order. Lori is countersuing for the cost to change the locks to her home.
Okay, this man who you describe as having a terrible temper texted you at work and said, listen, I have to let this whole situation de-escalate for a while, so I'm going to go and stay at a friend's house until you get home. You spoke to your mother, then you called him at night and said, we're done. Well, he's on the leash. You can't say we're done and barricade yourself in the house. You can't do that unless you've done it before. You see how you're smiling? Can't control yourself. So you barricaded yourself into the house. He didn't kick down the door. He pushed down the door because he wanted to get into his home, where he is entitled to be. And you're smart enough to know that if you called the police and said to the police, he pushed his way into the house, they're going to say, well, whose house is it? And they say, well, it's our house. They're going to say, he's entitled to be in his house. He didn't have a fight with you. He had a fight with his mother-in-law. Tell his mother-in-law to leave. We can't make him leave because he didn't touch you.
Well, they don't.
And you know that. So very quietly and stealthily, you let him come upstairs and sleep in bed with you. And when he left in the morning, then you called the police. You called the police because, according to you, your mother said when he was orderly, taking his stuff and leaving, he says, but I'm going to come back for my son. I want my son. I love my son, just like you do. Law doesn't give you any special rights as a mother to your child. And you know that, because the law's equal. They say fathers are really fathers. They have rights to their children, the same as their mothers. And it doesn't matter who cooked them. So what you did was get a leg up. Because you said, in order for me to do that, I've got to get an order throwing him out of the house, excluding him from the house, saying that I'm afraid of him, saying that he threatened to take my son, not his son, which you did, and some judge actually gave you that order. See, I wouldn't have done that. But we're all different. So you did have him falsely arrested, and he's suing you for $1,500 in attorney's fees. I would have given you a lot more. You have a counterclaim for your broken door. Fix it yourself. You had no reason to barricade somebody who had a perfect right to be in their apartment out of their home. Judge him for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,500. A goodbye.
Parties are excused when they step out.
I don't know why you find this funny. I don't find it funny, actually. I find it very sad. Because if what you're telling me is, since this all happened, he's been on a supervised visitation schedule, you, madam, are outrageous.
He has previous anger issues. He was diagnosed PTSD.
I don't have any anger issues.
He has anger issues. It's well documented.
I was actually arrested at the place where I was living at, and it was kind of messy.
He needs to be in Brody's life. I understand that, and I'm fine with that, but he needs to step up to the plate.
I really don't know what her justification was for it, but it was unjust.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Hart versus Cooksey Jackson. Step forward.
21-year-old April Hart is suing 23-year-old motorist Teandre Cooksey Jackson for hitting her with his car while she was crossing the street.
Ms. Hart, the defendant hit you with his car. You were a pedestrian.
Yes.
Your medical bills are substantial.
Mm-hmm.
You're suing him for $5,000, as well as for lost wages.
Yes, and pain and suffering.
Mr. Jackson says that the accident, and he acknowledges that his car hit you, was totally your fault. And he has a counterclaim. He says as a result of you hitting his car was damaged. He wants you to pay for that.
Wow.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
On what date did this happen?
December 6th.
What time?
6:15.
In the evening?
Yes.
Was it light or dark?
Dark.
Was it raining or clear?
Clear. It started to rain after I got hit, though.
Is that right, sir?
No.
No. It was raining. You have a police report?
Yes, ma'am.
Police reports say it was raining or dry?
At the incident, I'm not sure.
Where were you coming from, Ms. Hart?
Work.
Where were you going, Mr. Jackson?
I was going home.
From work?
From work.
Is this the usual route that you take to walk home, Ms. Hart?
Yes, to the light rail station.
Is this the usual route that you take to drive home from work, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Let me take a look at this. Weather was rainy and wet. Speed limit at the location is 65 miles an hour. Do you have insurance?
No, I didn't have insurance at the time.
What were you doing driving a car without insurance?
My other car I had, I was driving. I just bought that car it got broken into. So I was driving and I just had to immediately buy a car just to get to work and get to school. And I didn't have an insurance plan at the time.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
In most cases, when you hit a pedestrian, it's your fault. Unless the pedestrian is trying to do harm to themselves. You weren't trying to commit suicide, were you?
No.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. April Hart says motorist Teandre Cooksey Jackson hit her with his car while she was crossing the street. Teandre claims April unwisely stepped out into traffic.
Okay. Go over there and show me what happened.
Crossing onto the crosswalk, me and Raul and his friend, we were going opposite ways. So they were going that way. I was going this way. We crossed each other dab in the middle. So as soon as I crossed them, I got right here, and that's when I got hit by the car.
Go over there and show me what happened.
It was two guys.
You're standing right in front of me. How am I supposed to see what happened?
It was two gentlemen here. They crossed over diagonally. Like they ran over to beat my car. And I stopped down and slowed down to let them clear. And as I proceeded, she stepped out of nowhere coming this way, out of a dark area. She stepped out of nowhere, and I slammed on my brakes.
She was in a crosswalk.
The police say she
was in a crosswalk.
Okay.
And I'm not so sure I agree with their evaluation. In any event, they're not judges, so I don't care. They say that you stepped right out in front of traffic. You weren't trying to commit suicide, were you?
No.
Step back there. Were you taken to the hospital?
Yes.
You have a medical record for me to look
yes.
at? She wasn't crossing a highway, she was in a crosswalk. And if the weather is bad and wet and rainy, you go really slowly when you hit a crosswalk. She ended up on the hood of your car. According to you, she ended up on the hood of your car causing, according to you, $2,000 worth of damage to your car, because that's your counterclaim. Anything else you want to tell me?
That I'm getting surgery on my knee in the next 2 weeks, and then I have...
That's why you have insurance, sir. So that if you hit somebody with a car, and you didn't leave work that day planning to hit somebody in a car, that's why they call it an accident. But somebody was injured, and somebody has to be responsible for that. That's why everybody insists that you have at least liability insurance, so that you can take care of somebody else in case you're responsible for an accident. And you start out with the premise that in most cases, when you hit a pedestrian, it's your fault. Most of the time. Unless the pedestrian is trying to do harm to themselves. Here, the pedestrian was in a crosswalk. It's at night. It's rainy. It's wet. Do you understand?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. Are you driving now?
Yes.
Do you have insurance?
Yes.
When did you get insurance, and with whom?
I don't have that car. That car is in the process of being shipped over. I couldn't.
What do you mean it's in the process of being shipped over? What does that mean?
Pink slip. My pink slip is, I'm transferring the car over. I'm getting rid of the car.
How are you getting to work and school now?
Oh, I have a friend take me to work and school.
You know, I don't believe a word you're saying to me.
My psyche, what happened? I couldn't drive a car. I mean, that was my first time being in a car accident. I was driving cautiously on the road. These two crossed over. Him and his friend crossed over illegally. There's no telling where. And it was raining. They crossed over illegally. I slowed down.
That's why you have to be super cautious when 3,000 pounds of car hits. 130-pound person, what do you think is going to get damaged?
She will.
Right. Judging for the plaintiff for the amount of $5,000. That's all. Thank you.
Excuse me. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You say when you purchased the car, he committed a fraud.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to find out what happened. That's my job. That's what makes my job easy, and it also makes good television.
Next Judge Judy.
Her key point was not having insurance, and that's what she basically nailed me on.
He said he didn't see me. I don't know how he didn't see me when it was two other people crossing the crosswalk.
I feel like it was her. She should have been more responsible looking both ways.
Dark and rainy, he should have been more cautious, like she said.
She was stepped in front of the car, and it just... It was too late to step on the brakes. I slammed on the brakes, but it was too late.
Boom. Just got hit, flew, landed, screamed. It was horrible.
The momentum carried her over, and I stopped and checked on her.
I cracked my knee, torn ligament, cracked ankle, so they're giving me surgery on my leg.
She said she was hurt. I asked her, you know, if she was hurt, and I called 911.
Yeah, he was kind of frightened because he couldn't believe that he really just hit somebody.
She's okay. That's the biggest thing.
Just be careful. You never know what might happen. It came out of nowhere, so just be careful.
Car can be repaired.